World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, thanks for joining us here this morning. I'm a little bit flummoxed. I don't even know if you guys know what that word is. Flummoxed. You don't have to look that up, Spencer. Flummoxed means kind of frustrated, throw your hands up in the air. What the heck do we do? Where do we go from here? I really feel flummoxed today. And a lot of it has, yeah, thank you. Flummoxed, confused, perplexed. Thanks, Spence. I feel flummoxed. I think American Christianity in particular is flummoxed, to be perfectly honest with you. I want you to do two things. Number one, Spencer, I'm sorry, buddy. Folks, I got a great team that works for me. Spence, I want you to get, which one is it? Hang on. What am I looking? Oh yeah, get number four ready for me, okay, Spence? I don't want you to play it yet. I'm flummoxed, and don't play it yet, Spence. And if you could pull up for me, I just sent it to you. It says the tyranny of the respectable. If you listen here anytime, Lord, we just pray that the words of our lip, meditation, and heart be pleasing in your sight today, in Jesus' name. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You talk about a cesspool. America has become a cesspool. Everywhere. They're using our tax dollars for cesspool stuff. Murdering babies with cesspool. Transgenderism. I want to read this to you. Because I guess if there's a theme at Coach Dave Live, this might be it. They've defanged the church, folks. They've defanged us. I think I got this from Christopher, I think it was not. Christopher sends me some good stuff if it's not from Christopher. This is a good jumping off point here. The soft tyranny of respectable Christianity is a faith that has been carefully declawed, house trained, and told it may bark in the sanctuary but must whisper in the streets. Somebody give me a boom or a thumbs up on that. I'm going to read that again. The soft tyranny of respectable Christianity. Just think about that a minute. When you go to church, are they into respectable Christianity? Want to share the love of Jesus? Don't want to look bad. Don't want to hate anybody or anyone. Yeah. Well, it's a faith that's been carefully declawed, house trained, and told to may bark in the sanctuary. But don't you dare bring that. Don't you dare bring that Christianity out here in the public. Don't you dare get it out of our schools. Get it out of our government. Respectable Christianity says preach vaguely. Don't offend. Blend in. Mind optics, avoid headlines. In short, behave. We've confused gentleness with timidity. We've mistaken prudence for paralysis. We've traded prophetic clarity for public approval. Vinny, that'd be a boom. Anybody else want to throw a boom out there? Sit down, buckle up. We've learned how to speak just enough truth to sound faithful, and just a little enough to remain safe. So we hedge, we qualify, we soften. And all of it's justified in the name of keeping our witness. But a witness that never risks anything, that's our witness. It's, as Josh Dawes calls it, the idol of evangelism. It's background noise in a culture moving fast and paying no attention to our niceness.
Boom.
Thanks, Vinny. The apostle did not say we must obey God unless the optics are bad. He said we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. Yet we've raised a generation of leaders fluent in institutional survival and illiterate in holy courage. I'm going to read this again. We've raised a generation of leaders fluent in institutional survival and illiterate in holy courage instead of speaking truth. We get sermons that are safe but forgettable, convictions that never collide with power, worship that is comfortable but not transformative, piety without boldness, and discipleship that never costs anything. All the while, culture marches on, unbothered. Pornography on the Super Bowl, churches having halftime parties. I added that. You see, this is what respectable Christianity produces. Believers who are sincere but sidelined. Pastors who are orthodox but irrelevant. Churches that are tolerated because they're harmless. We say we know nothing of persecution. It's because we did nothing worthy of being persecuted. Christ did not die to create a harmless people. He died to purchase a bold one. People who fear God more than headlines, who love truth more than applause, who value faithfulness more than funding. Who would rather lose influence than lose their integrity. Those that are not loud for the sake of noise or outrage, but just plain courageous for the cause of Christ. Not culture warriors, kingdom witnesses, prophetic servants. Folks, the hour is late. And the fog is thick. Respectable Christianity will not hold. Only costly Christianity will. That's a boom, isn't it?
Amen.
Did you guys see the lyrics? Did you see the lyrics of the Super Bowl? Did you guys see what that guy went out there and sang? Some of you are not. I mean, did you hear the words that he was speaking in Spanish? And why did he speak it in Spanish? Because the average person wouldn't know what they were talking about. That's why. It was so unbelievably vulgar, piped into our homes. Most of you still don't know what it was. You want me to show you? It's vulgar. I didn't watch it either. Do you guys know? Do you know what he did? Hey, Spencer, pull it up there. Hey, listen. Better cover your eyes. This is what was sung at the largest public event in world. Not history, but everybody's watching the Super Bowl. A GOP lawmaker calls on the FCC to take vulgar. I'm going someplace. Stay with me. Take action after Bad Bunny's shocking and vulgar halftime show. Let me ask you something. Did the NFL know what he's going to do? Did they know he was going to be vulgar? Anybody out there think that maybe, just curious, do you think out there he had to maybe present to the authorities what he's going to do? Do you think he just showed up and did an act, or do you think he presented it to everybody? Here's what we're going to do. As you can see, if you watch the Super, it was completely and totally perfectly practiced. So they've been practicing and dancing for how long to make this worldwide production of vulgarity and debauchery? Did the NFL not know it? They didn't know. He just ran out there and sang that and nobody knew what he was going to do. Scroll down a little bit. Hey, cover your ears or cover your eyes. Look, it may offend you, but it certainly didn't offend all the people listening. Here's what Bad Bunny sang. My dick is being chased, and I want you to hide it. Grab it like a bonga. She took a pill that made her horny. She fucks in the Audi, not in the Honda. If I give it to you, don't call me, because this is not to make you love me. If your boyfriend doesn't eat your ass, he better fuck. This is what they sang at halftime of the Super Bowl. Would they got away with singing in English? Would they got away with singing in English? Hey.
Coach, can you chat that, please? I have to share that with people.
Come down to my house. I'll lick it all up. Mimi, I'll lick it all up. Come down to my house. I'll wear you out. I'll wear you out. Come down to my house. I'll lick it all up. Mama, I'll lick it all up. Tell me, servant, if you smoke weed. Jow, baby, baby, baby. Ha, ha, ha. The dealer is twerking hard. It seems like she fucks well while high. I want you to, you get it, right? Get it? Played in churches at halftime, by the way. Played in churches at halftime. Tell me, said, I didn't know this, Coach. I didn't know this. I didn't even know if I should. It's so embarrassing. I didn't even know if I ought to present it to you. But I guess if you watch the Super Bowl, it didn't bother you. Tyranny of the respectable. Tyranny. Churches ought to be pounding down TV stations. They ought to be pounding down the NFL. They ought to be storming the gates and throwing mud pies. What they did to our children that watched it. You say, well, Coach, they couldn't even understand it. Oh, but you don't understand spiritual things, do you? You don't understand spiritual things.
Boom.
Why did they do it? Because they understand spiritual things. They do. I have to be honest with you. Well, that sounds stupid. I'm always honest with you. Pull up for me number four. I want to be honest. Yeah. I watched this yesterday, last night, and I wept. I couldn't stop crying. Kid Rock, the alternative show. Why wouldn't Kid Rock be on the main stage at the Super Bowl? Why did Kid Rock have to do his performance on an alternative media? See, we always take the bones, whatever they throw through. They throw us the breadcrumbs. We take. Oh yeah, we'll get our own gone. We'll get our own gone. How dare they do this on our American airwaves to our innocent children? How dare they do it? Ain't nobody pissed. Ain't nobody pissed. Kid Rock was a heathen who got saved. You guys know that? Kid Rock was a heathen who got saved. By the way, that's me. Anybody else out there, a heathen that got saved? World's full of them. But we walk around, we whisper, we don't say anybody, man. We don't do that. Why? Because we don't understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We don't understand the power of the media and who is seized. Oh, I gotta get going here. I'll turn that off so it stops doing that. I'm gonna play this. Because I told you I wept. Michelle and I sat at the table and I wept. And I probably will again. Kid Rock. It's about 5 minutes. Most of us never saw it. 5 minutes, 13 seconds. Kid Rock's performance on the other channel. We always go do our own thing, don't we? We go do our own thing. We're not going to barge our way in and let Kid Rock sing this to 50 million people. No, we'll go over and do our own thing, let them do it to 5 million, and then claim, oh, we got victory. Try not to cry. Understand, I was Kid Rock. Some of you right now, you were Kid Rock. Lost. Go ahead, play it.
Gentlemen, please welcome our brother, Robert Ritchie.
He changes it, freeze it. He's no longer Kid Rock. He's born again. He's Robert Ritchie. He went back to his own name. Isn't that something? Go ahead. Again, Robert Ritchie used to be Kid Rock.
You can tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fishing another time. You got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand.
You can't.
Till you can't. You can keep putting off forever with that girl whose heart you hold, swearing that you'll ask someday further down the road. You can always put a diamond on her hand.
You can't.
Till you can't. Till you can't. If you got a chance, if you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can. Until you can, until you can.
Now there's a box of greasy parts sitting in the trunk of that 65, still waiting on you and your grandpa to bring it back to life. You can always get around to fixing up that old Pontiac till you can't. Till you can't. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can. Take care. Take care.
You know, I awoke one Sunday morning all alone with this song stuck in my head. And in that moment, something or someone spoke to me. They said there was still a verse that needed to be written for this song, and to get up and write it down.
Freeze it. Okay, so the Holy Spirit spoke to him, said there's a lyric that you got to add to this song, because that what we just listened to is famous, right? That was one of his hits. And he said, laying in bed, the Holy Spirit said, there's some lyrics you got to write. He's going to sing to you now the lyrics that he wrote and added to it. Go ahead.
There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance. Till you can't. Take it. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back.
If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can until you can.
You know, you can do a lot of research and find out that millions of people search the Bible online after this. Do you guys know that? Did you know that? Can somebody tell me, why wouldn't the NFL be for this? Why wouldn't the NFL be for that? Why would they promote the wickedness? Can you sit down for a second? Can I show you? Jeff, I see your hand. You gotta wait a second. Pull up number 11. I don't talk much about it. Devil has a team. Masonic bodies. Folks, Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. If we do not understand that those evil spirits in high places have manifested in our culture, then we're not going to get what's going on. Those who are in control of the NFL, the media, do not want the name of Jesus mentioned. Because why? They serve another God. They serve another God. So I just Googled this morning, Masonic bodies. What are they? Masonic bodies comprise several groups such as lodges, chapters, councils, commanderies, and consistories. These in turn construct the fraternity of Freemasonry. Folks, this ain't Christianity. Also called free and accepted Masons, which are regulated by private groups of members. Is anybody picking up yet where I'm going? Anybody picking up yet? You think our Congress isn't controlled by these guys? The functional Masonic body is the Masonic Lodge that grants the first degrees of Masonry, being that of entered apprentice, fellow craft, master Mason, being the operational body. The Masonic Lodge alone can make a Mason. Okay, so hang on. Here we go. Did you know this? All the different Masonics? Usually Master Mason is considered to be the highest degree, but the affiliation of various offer organizations within Freemasonry enable the Freemasons and non-Masons to pursue their goals, the latter having some relation to the Master Mason, for instance, Order of the Eastern Star, International Order of Job's Daughters, Order of Amarath. Hey, folks. Listen, Order of the Demolay, the International Order of the Rainbow for Girls. These are the devil's teams. These are the devil's denominations, folks. And they're designed to destroy everything. Pull that picture up, Spencer. I don't know if you can make it bigger. The structure of Freemasonry. Put it in chat. Because every one of those steps tells you something. Go back, Spence, if you will. Now, scroll down. There's the York Rite. These are denominations of Freemasonry, folks. Scottish Rite. Oh, got going too fast on me, didn't you? No. Scottish Rite is unrecognizable in terms of official channelization in England. Okay. Order of the Eastern Star. How many of you out there, your mommies were members of the Eastern Star? Order of Amaranth. Folks, these are denominations of Satanism. The Tall Cedars of Lebanon. The Order of the Demolay. Job's Daughters International. Ancient Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. The Shriners. The Grotto. The High 12 Internet. Folks, demonic denominations. They run the world. How do I know that? Psalm 2, pull it up for me. Pull up Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do we sit in our house and watch pornography being piped in there in the name of Jesus being besmirched? Why? Because the kings of the earth have set themselves. We just saw who they were. And the rulers, isn't it amazing, the rulers? They're not just kings, they're rulers. And they take counsel together against everything Christian. But there it is. Promise you this. You go to church with people who are members of what you just saw there. You go to church with them. Might be some of your elders. And he, you know, he may have just become a Freemason because it's for business opportunities. His friends invited him in there. So you can, I guess you can just be kind of a part-time Satanist. You can be a part-time Satanist and still go to church. That's okay. Some of the pastors are Masons. Although they don't call them Masons. They're the Order of the Demolay. What do they call the women's Masons? What do they call those women Masons? Come on, Michelle, what do they call those women Masons?
Eastern Stars.
What the hell is that? Eastern Stars. Bear with, I see your hands. Bear with it. I got a couple things I want to get up for you. Spencer, I sent you a standalone email. It says Flynn Substack. General Flynn for president. General Flynn for president. General Flynn wrote this February 9th. That'd be yesterday. Leadership lesson of the day. How to defeat your enemy or countering Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Church could take some lessons here. In my time studying our enemies, Flynn writes, there are many leadership lessons learned worth sharing. Two of those lessons regarding an adversary are, you better read your enemy's doctrine. A little pause there. Did you hear that? You better read your enemy's doctrine. And two, listen to what they say. And more important, watch how they act. On that note, see, you can be a Republican, conservative Republican. You might be Demolay. Did you ask yourself this? How do our elected officials get selected? Maybe Glenn could help us out a little bit on that. How did they get, how the people they run for, how did Vivek Ramaswamy get the Republican nod? Let's keep going here. On that note, I've lifted a section from a great book by Chris Adamo. His entire book is well worth reading. He shares a level of wisdom and intellect few possess, especially during these uncertain times. Okay, here we go. You ready? Rules. Rules. You heard of rules for radicals? Number one, do not apologize unless a genuine wrong had been committed. Refuse to be manipulated into false apologies, which radicals use to gain power and demoralize their opponents. Don't apologize if he said the truth. Two, exposed leftist schemes and inconsistency. Aggressively reveal hypocrisy, lies, and destructive intentions rather than merely defending against attacks. See, we can't do that because we're the Church of Mr. Nice. Three, maintain principles and the moral high ground. Do not compromise core values or descend to the left's level of deceit. Principled consistency is a strength. We don't have any principled consistency in the Republican Party. Number four, avoid reactive defense. Shift from defense to offense by proactively highlighting the left's agenda and tactics. For instance, hang on. We used to go out on the street and we'd go to the gay pride parade. And we'd be standing there holding a sign. And these freaks, these homosexual transgender freaks would come up. And they would start, they'd start attacking. Now you Bible beater, blah, 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 blah. And you know what we would do? I'd say, dude, have you looked at you? No wonder you act like a woman. You look like a woman. You can't even be a man. You got to go be. Hey, you know what happens? They leave because they're used to Christians telling them how much Jesus loves them. The enemy smells weakness. Recognize and reject intimidation and chaos tactics. Do not allow fear, personal attacks, or manufactured crises to force concessions. Oh, I love that one. Huh? Here I stand. I ain't moving. Huh? One of us is going to win, and it ain't going to be you. Well, Coach, we got to reach across the aisle. Rule six, do not let radicals dictate the rules. You will not teach transgenderism to my children. Sorry, you won't do it. Where are the churches going to the school board meetings and say enough, enough? You will not do that. Refuse to be held to the standards that the left ignores. Countering Galinsky's, make them live up to their own rule book. Number seven, personalize and polarize the target when appropriate. Huh? Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and point out how wicked they are. Doesn't sound very Christian, does it? Till you can't. Stay calm and strategic under pressure. Avoid emotional reactions that radicals exploit to portray opponents as extreme. They call you an extreme, let whatever, say, are you kidding? Have you looked at you? Huh? You with your green hair and hooks in your nose? You calling me extreme? No, but that wouldn't be sharing the love of Jesus, would it, folks? Huh? We need to defend foundational American principles and values. Frame arguments around liberty, truth, and the Constitution to counter cultural and political erosion. Number 10, engage proactively in culture and politics. You listen in church. Do not cede ground. Actively promote and defend conservative Christian values to prevent radical dominance. Local action can have national impact. The pastors won't step out of their churches. They won't step out to where the fight's going on. See, hey, folks, look. Hey, folks, I'm sorry to tell you this. The fight isn't going on in your church. Although it could be. It could be going on in your church. But the war is outside your church. Your war is not in your church. And going into your church and praying and dancing and raising your hands and doing praise and worship, folks, that ain't fighting. You're fooling yourself if you think that's fighting. The church. Full of comp. Oh, I got so much stuff I want to throw up on that screen. I got so much stuff. Hang on. Let me show you some action. I'll get you, Jeff. I'll get you guys. You ready for this one? Get number three ready. Anybody remember this? Remember when we went down the Georgia Guidestones? I can show you pictures of it. Remember when we went down the Georgia Guidestones and we prayer walked that thing? We took the Ten Commandments. We put the Ten Commandments up on it. Anybody remember that? Those Georgia Guidestones? We came out of hiding. We went to the enemy's camp. We took back what the enemy stole. Go ahead and play this. Hey. Can I do this? I'm going to take credit for this. For us. We made this happen. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual warfare. We went and made this happen. Go ahead.
Boom.
In 2022, one of America's strangest monuments was destroyed. The Georgia Guidestones stood for over 40 years. No one knew who built them or why. They contained messages about population control, world balance, a future reset, Then one morning, an explosion shattered them. No suspects were ever named. No motive confirmed. The site was demolished within hours. Surveillance footage exists, but the person responsible was never identified. A mystery monument, destroyed in secrecy, leaving only questions behind. In 2020...
Wow, huh? Huh? You know what that was? That was a gobwink. That was a gobwink. Just waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Just waiting for somebody to show up and defend him. Hey, till you can't. Till you can't. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to open it up. Why can't you? Why can't you? Why can't you stop transgenderism in your schools? Why can't you stop the teaching of homosexuality in your schools? Why can't you get the Ten Commandments back in the schools? Why can't you get a Christian curriculum back into the schools? Hmm? You have a chance, take it. You can't. Because I'm here to tell you, the day is rapidly coming when you can't. And the victims are going to be your grandchildren, my grandchildren. They're going to be the victims. And we're still in a place where we can do something about it. So you can't. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, you can pull up. I think it's Isaiah 1:15, and I'm going to say this, and it might offend some people, but I don't care. We sit and watch Kid Rock the other night because we didn't want to watch that garbage. I watched the whole game, turned it off. First part of that turning point was not that great. Some of them singers, the sound was terrible. But Kid Rock come through clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. And when he added that last verse, me and Mary Jane said there were tears in our eyes.
That's that, man.
I was a heathen just like him, like you said. That's right. Horrible. So once I started going to church and got saved, people were like, oh, yeah, all that JC. Oh, he's just a drunk and a drug addict and always getting arrested, blah, blah, blah. So what do we do when we wake up the next day and all I hear is people trashing Kid Rock? The comments that were coming across Facebook and some places, oh, he sang about songs like this. And hell, I did too. I did the same thing, Kid Rock.
They don't understand it, right? Yeah. They don't understand salvation, transformation.
So then yesterday, right there it says, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make prayers, I will not hear your hands are full of blood.
He's talking to us, by the way, Jeff. He'd be talking to us.
Yeah. So we got all these people ripping him. And then yesterday I watched this 39-minute video of two guys, soft Christian men. Oh, they're soft little sissies.
They're just lost. They just
ripping, Jesus. Totally ripping Donald Trump for the prayer breakfast. Now, maybe he'd go a long time. He talked and he talked. That's what he always does. But it just said in there, 40 years of them guidestones standing. We just went through 40 years of prayer breakfasts and haven't changed this nation. Amen. Haven't changed one iota. So Jeff,
I got into discussion yesterday because people are upset. Rightfully so, because Trump's taken over the national prayer breakfast. Anybody noticing that? Anybody know that he's doing that? He's speaking at the prayer breakfast. I said, can't you guys understand that he's filling a void? He doesn't want to do that.
Come on.
We're the Christian men that will do what he's doing.
Come on.
They aren't going to do it. Whoa. He's going to do it. And then Christians get pissed. He's not Christian enough.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so sick of all of it. And sometimes it makes you think, and I thought yesterday, like, why are we even involved with this church thing in Christianity? It's like, they're a bunch of cowards. I'm just sick of it.
Amen. James Thomas, go on, James. Tell us your story, not your life.
Praise the Lord. I'm kind of was thinking when you were playing, you know, Roger, there was a lot of the NFL teams that did push back on the, but Roger Goodell, he's one of those wicked guys.
He ought to be thrown in jail for putting that publicly before our children. He ought to be thrown in jail.
Amen. You know, There's a lot of people that I think this is a petition we should do. We should petition that he be removed from Danny. Send every freaking team, say, if you don't get rid of this Putz, then he's a schmuck. That's what I read an article yesterday calling him a schmuck. That's what he is. But that being said, it goes a lot higher than this. Satan is the principality and the power of the air. He knows how to use media. He knows how to use music to entice and do his bidding.
Well, unfortunately, the church doesn't know how he does it, James. Unfortunately.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think it's, I will probably say this. There's nothing new under the sun. If the Lord tarries, I will say probably I guess I ask another question, real, and then I'll shut up.
Good.
Why does college take the Sabbath, Saturday, and the pros take Sunday, the Lord's Day?
Well, we know why.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, I think we need to send some messages to the NFL teams and say, hey, let's get this changed, brother.
Hey, James, they ain't going to do that. They're freaking holding halftime Super Bowl parties. They ain't going to do that.
Well, yeah.
Come on, we're supposed to love them. Come on. Jesus.
I read some comments. I read comments. And there's a lot of people, they freaking enjoyed the freaking band.
Listen, because Christians aren't. They aren't Christians, folks. They aren't Christians. Stephanie, come on in. Resident pagan, former pagan Stephanie, come on in. She texted me, said that she wants in here. Come on, Steph. Martin, go.
Hey, Coach. Always good to be on your program, sir, Busman of the Busman Report. Talking about the LGBTQ, sir, I love that part that said, you know, you have to engage. How many in here have engaged, or who's watching CDL right now, have engaged an LGBTQ person? And I don't mean, you know, tell them that they're going to hell or anything like that. Here's what I found out by engaging them, and what I call engaging, Coach Dave, is this. I learn their name, I listen to their history, and I wait for them to tell me about the trauma that they've experienced. And I'm not kidding you, Dave. 9 out of 10 will reach that point in the discussion within 6 minutes, 7 minutes. And then you can use your healing eyes of Jesus Christ, if you follow the Bible, that is. If you just go to church, forget about everything I'm saying. And you can start to heal that person. I'm working with a young lady right now, and I'm taking her out to eat, buying her coffee, and she's starting to open up. So what I would say is if everybody in here in Coach Dave Live Q and watching the program right now would look for an LGBTQ, it doesn't matter what the gender it is, boy or girl, and just go up there and talk to them. We can, just this group, Coach Dave, can annihilate in Jesus Christ's power.
We don't even know how to do it, Martin. I'm with you. We don't even know how to do it. I'm with you. We don't even know
how to do it. I'll show you how to do it. Okay, thanks, Dave.
Yep. Stephanie's on my phone. She said she couldn't get in. Let me give it a try. Come on in, Stephanie.
Yeah, hey, Coach. Yeah, obviously, first thing I've been in the huddle on, it wouldn't let me in. I just want to say that you're absolutely on it with everything, how you started about the song that they use at halftime, because I didn't watch that, and I went on a video and just watched like the first few minutes. I'm like, I don't understand any of this, but I see repetitive words being flashed at me. And the dark side uses that stuff. That's a spell that went into everybody's homes.
Wow.
All of those words being repetitive, that's chanting. All the music, the words, the notes that are used, that's all a spell. Darkseid uses that stuff, and I do believe it's Jay-Z that's in charge of the music for the halftime show, and he's married to that Beyonce,
wow.
And that's a whole, you know, and he's, you know, Puff and P. Diddy or whatever his name. So you touched on that, and amen to I was a Kid Rock. You know, amen to Kid Rock and Richie coming out and singing that song and praising Jesus, amen.
Yep.
Because a lot more people are going to be listening and hearing that name and looking up stuff.
That's
and
right.
Those are the people that need to hear it. And when you come from the dark side, people, you want to praise this and you want to scream it because we know that it was real. That song was amazing.
Amen.
And can you imagine, Coach, having him sing that at Legend Valley?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine if we could get Legend Valley and praise out the name of Jesus with a concert, like something like that? What that would do in the spiritual realm.
We got to hide inside our churches. We can't be out publicly doing that, Stephanie.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, the Freemasonry stuff, people look into that. That's all legit. That's not good.
Devil has a team.
Everywhere.
The devil has a team, doesn't he, Steph?
Yeah, he has a team, and he has 30 different flavors, like the ice cream. He's got Freemasonry. He's got Eastern Stars. He's got witchcraft. He's got all kinds of, and it's all the same. So
amen.
Thanks, Coach, for giving me a minute, and Jesus go.
Amen. Hey, Stephanie, you're you're ex-pagan, aren't you? You know what you're talking about.
Yes. I know. I lived it. I breathed it. These people, they're open to all of this darkness, and they're living it, breathing it, and they will do anything. Mm-hmm. They strongly believe in all of this, and they'll do anything. And I believe those blue-haired, green-haired, call me they, them, that they're spirit possessed.
Yes.
Those are full out oppressed, possessed, open to everything, mad female rebellious spirits.
Yep.
And
amen.
That's just coming from me, my opinion.
Amen. Amen. We love you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, dear. Wow, huh? Wow. Mary Beth.
Just want to make a comment about Kid Rock. You know, he sang the opposite song to show what the Lord had done in his life. That's
right.
Why they had that opposite part on there. And people aren't going to see it anyway, but that's why they did that. So,
why can somebody explain to me why people don't feel open sharing the gospel? Why are these performers don't feel open to do it? Paganism, you can do all that other stuff, but no, we're not allowed to spread what we believe. Why is that? Well,
I think that Satan gets a lot of people with fear. I think that's one of his biggest tools. He just gets people with fear.
That's it. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. Proverbs, Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Good morning, everybody. I know this is going to ruffle some feathers here, but I have to ask the question anyway. Every year the Super Bowl has a satanic halftime show. So why do Christians even bother turning it on at all?
Because we don't understand the spiritual significance. We don't believe in the supernatural anymore. We don't teach it. We don't believe in it. We have Super Bowl. We have Super Bowl parties. They say, well, we turn off the halftime show. We turn that off. And we give a little salvation message. All right. Okay. So after you give that little salvation message, do you then take those guys to the streets and teach them how to defend the gospel,
Coach,
and hook some
Coach.
Fish and reel them in? Do you do that? No, you don't do that. You know why? Because most pastors don't know how to do it. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Just sorry, but I just can't believe that churches didn't research that and put it in their sanctuaries. That's unreal.
Yeah, it's happening all across America. All across America. Now, it's good that Christians turned it off and we did our alternative thing. Hey, folks, in about time, the freaking other side had to go do the alternative thing. Why have we given, why have Christians given over this plan? Oh, I know. It's the end times. Daggone it. I forgot that. Huh? It's the end times. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's going to really piss somebody off. What group of people is it who hate the gospel, own much of the media, own much of and hate the gospel and want to make sure it doesn't get out. Huh? Anybody know who that
I'll
might
say
be?
Jews.
Don't, huh? No, it's not Jews. It's
the Jew versus Jews. Gentile.
It's those who say they are Jews and are not. Huh? Oh, don't get me going on that one. Hey, where
synagogue
am I?
Of Satan.
Adam, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying the synagogue of Satan.
Synagogue of Satan. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe. Oh, don't get me going on that one. Laura Ann, come on in.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just want to pray. We can talk about this all we want, but we have one person. We have the nation of heaven that can change it, right?
Yep. He uses people, though, Lauren. He uses people to change things.
Exactly. So, I mean, I minister to a whole trans community. I don't talk about it. It's between me and Jesus. But I can't remember the guy's name. But you have to meet people with compassion and not judgment and condemnation and show up. I got saved because somebody showed up in my life.
That's right.
Because what the church is extremely good at is meeting folks with condemnation and not compassion. And it does not mean that you have to, you don't share the truth. Your life should be a living, breathing gospel. You know, so, but I'm going to pray. And if you want to, because there's someone already who's interpreted the lyrics to Bad Bunny songs. If you don't want your eyes to be burned and your ears to bleed, look at the interpretation of those lyrics and what the NFL allowed. It was disgusting for families.
With the approval of the American church, by the way.
And Jay-Z is the one who books the talent.
Jeez.
So, you know, so that's all I've got to say. You know, and thank, and God, there is a God of hope. Because during the halftime show, there were people who turned and watched something else. They had an option. So thank you, Jesus. I don't care about the politics behind it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to a cross and you, not only did you die on the cross for our sins, you showed up, you talked to Mary, you went and saw the disciples, you appeared before hundreds of people, and then you ascended into heaven, took your place back next to your dad, who's now my dad, because you adopted us. And now I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Jesus, that there's still hope for the United States.
Amen.
It may just be small kisses on our cheeks, but President Trump wants to declare this nation back to you. So I'm asking you, Jesus, as you sit at the right hand of the Father and the accuser of the brethren is in your church, is in your land, is in your nation, and thinks he can infiltrate heaven, the nation of heaven. And I'm asking you, Almighty God, deal with your accuser. Deal with all of your accusers. Bring the judgment that's needed.
Amen.
In the land of the living. And Almighty God, I'm asking for a wall of protection around President Trump. But I'm also asking you, Lord Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, bless that man with the power of the Holy Spirit from heaven, that he has such an encounter with you, the Holy Spirit, and Father, that man is wrecked, changed, and empowered with so much courage and bravery, and that man is changed forever, and that you remove every Judas, lying, sneaky, naughty spirit that wants to lead him astray, and that nothing that the enemy tries to plan will be able to be set forth because he's planning. But Jesus, deal with them so none of those plans prosper. No civil unrest, no nothing. That you deal with your enemy exactly in front of your enemies, in front of your children, and know that you are a good father protecting us, and that man that you had elected, whether you like him or not, you picked him. David wasn't a perfect man. Everybody's running around calling him David. Well, look at David's family. Look at the decisions David did, and he was a perv. So thank you, Almighty God, for making this man, but you said he was a man after your own heart. Protect him, protect our nation. Let the nation of heaven come down here on earth and deal with your enemies. And we thank you again and praise you for what you're going to do because you love us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. And thank you, Lord God, for helping us to have eyes of compassion, hands of kindness. You showed up and didn't leave. despite how ugly it was, Jesus. From this heart, from this mom, thank you. And thank you for this team. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I pray courageous for hearts. What you're going to do.
Courageous hearts. Courageous hearts. Pray for courageous hearts. Dave Allison. Man, we've got 5 minutes left.
Good morning, everyone. Coach, I'm going to ask you a question. What benefit has our society gained out of professional sports? I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Because you don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And actually, the answer is that we've been drawn into idolatry. That's what we've been drawn into. The whole thing is all about idolatry. And this is the problem. This is deception. And I'm not opposed to sporting events. I played sports when I was in school, and I enjoyed it. But I moved on, and I hate to put it this way. I'm no longer a kid anymore. Amen. And those type of things I'm not involved in. But it's a form of idolatry, and that's what it's become. And men today live out their masculinity through sports. They're not involved in it, but and actually what the enemy has done, he's taken away that masculinity rather than demonstrating it out in the world for the kingdom of God. They live it out watching it on their TV set, watching someone on the field, and that's how they live out their masculinity. Oh, same way with the online fantasy football. It's a fantasy, right? They're living out their fantasies, fantasy football. That's what we become it's the adultery that we've entered into.
Amen. Amen, Dave. Amen. Hey, real quick, I'll get you in here. Randy, you'll be up here next real quickly. I'm starting to get emails from people who are mad that I played that clip without swearing.
What?
I don't even know what to say.
I didn't hear it.
That I played the clip with the swearing, the lyrics of the guy. How long are you going to stick your head in the sand? How long are you going to stick your head in the sand?
Boom.
You going to act like it wasn't said? Everybody watching this show now knows what they permitted. What we permitted. I'm sorry if your ears are too pure that you can't appreciate or understand what was programmed to your damn children. It's unbelievable. See, you shouldn't be pissed at me. You ought to be pissed at NFL. You ought to be pissed at NBC. You ought to be pissed at them. Heaven forbid I would play it. Oh, my God. Coach, this is a Christian show. Quickly, Angie.
You know what's worse, and I don't know, I don't want to say worse, but it's just very telling of the sign of the times that we're living in, is the amount of churches that hosted Super Bowl Sunday watch parties at their congregation, at their sanctuaries, with their families, with their children. I mean, I you go online and you put in like Lancaster churches hosting Super Bowl parties, and they're there. The ones in Columbus, they're everywhere. They're having Super Bowl parties, for God's sake. They're participating in the spiritual decline
and
of America.
And the devil infiltrated right into those churches, and they don't even know it.
Yep.
It was a ritual. So Stephanie told us that whole thing was a ritual. It was a ritual. Gino, quickly.
I was just going to say, you know, I agree with everything that was said, but there was one player on the Seahawks that they said he was very quiet. He never said anything, but he was one of the main players, and he did promote Jesus Christ when he had the chance to talk. And that is the highlight of the whole thing that I saw.
Amen. 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 Hey, truth hurts, doesn't it, folks? Truth hurts. I'm sorry if you were offended by what all the world watched. That I showed you what all the world watched. Somehow, I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth. What a world we live in. See you tomorrow.